Time for extremely local news from Block Club Chicago. Good morning, Seamus Toomey. Happy Friday.
Good morning, Bob. Happy Friday.
And let's talk about Chicago's alleys and why they don't get plowed. They don't get plowed at all, do they?
They don't, and it's a source of frustration for a lot of folks. Obviously, you got to do it yourself, and if you're in the middle of the block, you got a long way to go. Just clearing out the apron in front of your garage, as people know this week, that's not good enough. It'll just mean you get stuck in front of your neighbors. It's a pretty simple solution. The head of the Streets and Sanitation Department was asked this week, when are you going to the alleys? And he said, never. And basically, the city plows are sort of too blunt of an instrument to do it. They would, he said, once we start plowing down the alleys, there's nowhere for that snow to go. So it's going to push up against your garage doors, and it's going to collapse garage doors all around the city. So it's really just not an option to go send those plows down there, because they're going to, you know, not every garage is going to take the hit, but, you know, all that pressure from this really heavy snow is just going to cave in garage doors and cause even more problems. So we're on our own. I've been doing mine. I got about a third of the way down the alley last night, and I've got a little bit more to go before I can leave my neighborhood.
Time to befriend the neighborhood kids, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Please come finish the alley for me. My back is sore.
The first phase of Michael Reese Hospital redevelopment has gotten city approval. Is there a timetable for this yet, Seamus?
Yes, they're hoping to get this massive project on the old Michael Reese site started by the fall of 2022. So there's a lot of work to be done. It's the whole project itself is going to take about 20 years, they estimate, and you know the way things go, that probably means 30 years. but the plan is for the old Michael Reese site, which at one point was going to be the Olympic housing. Which is, we may have dodged a bullet on that one. It's sitting vacant. The city owns all of the property, so there's a grand plan. You can see a lot of the designs on our website, blockclubchicago.org. It's got just a huge, there's a pavilion, there's going to be a million square feet of retail and housing. They're going to put a lot of affordable housing in there. There's going to be an innovation center, a visitor center, senior housing, and that stuff is going to come first, the senior housing and the innovation center. That would be on the south end, the part that really you can see from McCormick Place. This is right south of McCormick Place from 26th Street to 31st Street, pretty much along Lakeshore Drive in the Brownsville neighborhood. And the goal is really just to bring a lot of housing there and retail life and really recharge that site, which is just really sitting vacant right now and not doing much good for the Brownsville residents.
And are they going to relocate that metro station on 29th? They're talking about maybe doing that, right?
Yeah, that's part of the project. I'm not exactly sure at what point in the timeline they're actually going to do that. But yes, they would build a brand new metro station down there as well, with all of those houses coming in. They're going to need some way to get folks on a train in and out of there. So they would move it from 29th Street to 31st Street is part of the plan.
Now, for this story in East Ukrainian Village, we were talking about these cloud kitchens, these ghost kitchens, and not everybody is happy about these. Tell us about it, Seamus.
Yeah, absolutely. Cloud kitchens are something that has really sprung up in the last couple years. And the idea is you just take, you know, any old vacant warehouse and you build, you put a bunch of stoves in there and deep fryers. And what you can do is you can run about three or four different restaurants from in there. Just cooking the food, then you have the Uber Eats folks pull up out front, they pick it up, they deliver it. You think you've ordered from Chipotle, and you have, but it was never a Chipotle. It was just some guy in a warehouse cooking it, and the Uber Eats guy delivering it. It really cuts down on, obviously, a lot of the overhead involved in a brick-and-mortar restaurant. But the problem is, these neighborhoods are getting caught off guard. The neighbors are getting caught off guard. They have no idea that this was going on. And the next thing you know, there's a flood of delivery drivers coming in and out of their neighborhood. They're in a hurry. They're trying to get the food out. There's delivery trucks that are blocking traffic. And all of a sudden, these neighbors think, hey, this was a quiet warehouse, and now we have a bustling restaurant district here, and they're not helping us. So this is happening in the North Center neighborhood. One popped up on Rockwell at the 4100 block of North Rockwell up by Irving Park. There's another one in River West. And what the neighbors are really arguing is that, listen, these things are barely regulated because they don't have to get zoning changes, so they never go before the neighbors for approval. They don't really go before the aldermen for much approval. So they're asking for a level playing field. They said, you know, if a bar has to come and get a license to open, you know, on a street for a 4 a.m. license or something like that, shouldn't a place that's going to bring hundreds of delivery drivers into a residential neighborhood, mm-hmm. shouldn't that be something that the city at least reviews? So,
yeah.
You know, it's one of the many new disruptors of the way we used to live. And it's it's an interesting concept. You know, a lot of people don't know what's going on, and it's lowering costs for some things, but it's creating new problems in other areas. So something to still be debated and studied by the city planners.
Yeah, these national restaurant chains have even gotten involved in this. I saw this statistic from Uber Eats. Let's see, they had 3,000 delivery-only restaurants on their platform in 2019, and now they have 10,000, and they say more than half has come from national chains. So it's going to continue to go in that direction, probably, right?
Right. I mean, when you realize, like, how did these places have such a wide delivery zone when they don't have a restaurant anywhere nearby? The answer could very well be there's a warehouse near you where there's the guy with the deep fryer.
Exactly. Seamus Toomey, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Bob. Thanks. Have a nice weekend.